Coming up on today's show,
there's no aspect of life where the faith doesn't apply. Like whatever we're doing as a parent, as a coach, as a teacher, whatever we're doing.
Peace be with you. This is Catholic Sports Radio, located at the intersection of your faith life and sports life, and on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, iHeartRadio, YouTube, and lots of other platforms. I am Bruce Wozniak, talking with Catholic guests who are current or former athletes, coaches, referees, umpires, clergy, administrators, and more from the pro, amateur, and scholastic ranks about the intersection of their faith life and their sports life. The show website is catholicsportsradio.net or .com. They will both get you to the same place. Be sure that you have signed up there for free for the Catholic Sports Radio e-newsletter that gets sent out each Monday. That's it. Really, just once a week, I promise. Interestingly, Catholic Sports Radio is in shouting distance of 1,000 followers on X, Twitter, and even closer to 600 followers on Instagram. So while you are on the website signing up for the newsletter, look at the top of any page on the site and you will see social media links, logos for this show, meaning Facebook, X, Instagram, and YouTube, so that you can not only engage with me and the show that way, but help hit those two specific plateaus that I just mentioned. The Catholic Sports Radio community is the Facebook group consisting of listeners of this show and some past guests that is free to join. And you can also find a link for that, too, on catholicsportsradio.net. I love hearing from listeners. I really do. And so social media, as well as the website, all give you the opportunity to contact me, as does traditional email, which you can do through bruce@catholicsportsradio.net. Now on to my ministry moment for this episode. If you have been following this show long enough, listening each week, following on social media, reading the weekly e-newsletter, then you know that I am a big fan of milestones. Heck, I just mentioned two in starting this episode. I need to be careful, though, so I don't get caught up in those numbers, those achievements, making me feel accomplished. Hitting certain plateaus on social media and the like are nice, but they can be distractions. In sports, athletes may not say it publicly, but they are getting lured into targets too. A NHL player wants to score 50 goals. An NFL running back wants to get 1,000-plus rushing yards. A baseball player wants to finish the season with a 300 batting average. And then what? Is goal setting actually tempting us away from where we will really find fulfillment? In the New Testament, 1 John chapter 4, verse 12 says, quote, "No one has ever seen God, yet if we love one another, God remains in us, and his love is brought to perfection in us," end quote. Or as it says in the New International Version, quote, "If we love one another, God lives in us, and his love is made complete in us." I have made no secret about the many health challenges that I have faced. Two open heart surgeries, two strokes, a motorcycle accident, hospitalized for a week with COVID in 2021. I was actually just at my cardiologist's office yesterday following up on a chest CT I had had done. Whenever we have medical occurrences, we pray, of course, but it's natural that we also consider how this will all be paid for, what our medical coverage is like. Are you tired of overpaying for your healthcare or being limited to a provider network? Look no further than Christian Healthcare Ministries. CHM has affordable programs for every Christian and no provider network. Learn more at chministries.org/catholic-radio. Moving on now with this week's episode, my guest played college baseball and then following his senior year, took an offer to play professionally in Italy. He was educated in the field of fitness and exercise physiology and is a Catholic speaker, professor, and author, having written three books, the latest of which just came out in February and is called Improving Your Sportsmanship Through Catholic Teaching and Common Sense, a practical guide for athletes, parents, fans, and coaches. His faith walk includes having entered the seminary to study for the priesthood, and present day he teaches at Wingate University in North Carolina and is the host of Faith and Sport on Radio Maria. Welcome to Catholic Sports Radio, Dr. John Acquaviva.
Bruce, it's good to be here. Thank you for having me, sir.
My pleasure. My pleasure, John. Let's start off by having you tell us first where you were born and raised and what the family size was.
Sure. One of seven kids, east side of Detroit. So I was born in the one of the biggest cities at the time, Detroit, Michigan.
Seven kids. What's the boy-girl breakdown, and where were you among the seven?
Five boys, two girls. I was the fourth boy.
Okay. And what did the faith life look like in the Acquaviva household when you were a young boy? You are a cradle Catholic, I know, but what did Catholic education look like for you? And was there somebody, singular or plural, who really helped mold you as a Catholic when you were young?
Yes, there was. The faith life, I would say, was typical of a Catholic family back in the 60s and the 70s when I was growing up. First, my mom worked really hard and was really good about directing us toward Catholic school. At the time, the public school system in the city of Detroit was declining year by year, and she was determined to have her kids, especially the latter five, graduate from Catholic high school. So I was 1 through 12 at the Catholic school.
Wow.
And home life was, I think, again, pretty typical. We prayed before meals. We were encouraged to become altar boys. I remember distinctly my mom sitting with me at the kitchen table because I was going to have a written exam to become a altar boy. And the priest told us there was going to be an exam, either verbal or written. And I remember my mom, and this is one of my best memories of my faith life, my mom was practicing with me like the typical responses from the congregants. But the next day, it was almost comical because there was no test, right? The priest just gave us a little badge, I think, where he said, you are now, you know, altar boys at the parish of Assumption Grotto. And I served as an altar boy from like fifth grade through eighth grade. And looking back on it, I thought that was an important part of my faith life because I just knew there was something there. As you know, Bruce, there's so much to the faith. It's really a faith for the mature, for the adult. And it's so hard to understand the richness of it, even when you're in high school. But I just always knew there was something there. I knew it. There was something real in the Eucharist. There's something real in the sacraments. And our pastor in particular, I think, did a great job of bringing that home. And I'm always appreciative of those years. Rosary every Sunday night on our knees. I remember in front of a crucifix as a family.
Wow.
And my dad supported it. He was, you know, he was an Italian Catholic as well, but I came to understand later that it wasn't really important to him, but it was always important to my mom. And often, as my house was like so many houses, Bruce, where it's guided by the mom. Wherever the mom stands, that's the direction it's going to go. But as we also know, it becomes stronger when the father is fully engaged in it as well. So mom can steer it, but dad is the propeller behind it. And that's where I think, you know, that our family life could have been stronger. But to the credit of my dad, he never discouraged it. In fact, was open. He was always the prayer leader. I remember at Advent and Lent when we would pray special prayers during those seasons, he would always lead it. And he never did it begrudgingly. And I have vivid memories of that as well. And I think all that, you know, helped shape me. It was a good, what I would call spiritual development.
Let's go over to sports right now. I'm guessing that for someone who played college baseball and then professionally over in Italy, you're going to tell us that you got started into sports by playing Little League Baseball. But last week, I asked Brad Wilkerson, who played in Major League Baseball for 8 years, if he played any other sports when he was growing up. And he shocked me by listing a whole bunch. So, John, in your case, what about it? For your start into playing sports, was it baseball and did it stay only baseball? And by the way, at what age did you start playing baseball? And did you play anything else?
Oh, yeah. I played a bunch of sports as a kid through high school and so forth. But, you know, we were like any other set of kids. We had a fairly big backyard, especially for the city of Detroit. In fact, in my mind, it was like 100 yards. It was probably like 20 yards total. But we did whatever was going on TV. So if it was the season of football, we were playing touch football or tackle football in the back or nearby field. If it was during the winter, even though literally the temperature would be near freezing, we would go out, shovel our sidewalk or our basketball court, and we would shoot hoops until the spring. And then, of course, once the snow melted in Detroit, which is usually around mid-June, we would play baseball. And so I started playing baseball. And then by the time I was in eighth grade, I was a basketball player. I was a football player. And I did the same thing in high school. I played all three of those sports.
Wow.
In addition to running track for a couple of years. Yeah.
Wow.
So I was, whatever season was in. And of course, I was so active. And as some friends of the family say, hyperactive. My mom was always like, oh, you want to do track? You got it, son. You want to do basketball? Fantastic. Even though I was barely bigger than the basketball, my mom was like encouraging me. And I, at the time, I thought it was great because I was like, oh, look at the way my mom's supporting me. But she even admits to this day, yes, she was supporting me, but two, she wanted to keep me out of jail. I just had so much energy. And if it wasn't geared toward the right thing in the right way, that I was going to end up in trouble probably some way. But that's the case for a lot of kids.
I know we have a lot of faith stuff to get to, but my gosh, how cool is it that after college you got offered to play baseball professionally in Italy? I usually save fun sports memories, stories till the end of an interview, but this one is too fascinating to not get to right away.
Yeah.
Give us the mechanics of how that happened, including where in Italy you played, but then also, okay, I'm sure you had to be mixing faith and sports over there, right, with so much Catholic history around you, presumably?
Boy, I wish I did. I was just so immature in the faith at the time. But the way it came about is I could give you 100 guesses, and I could give our guests 100 guesses. They would never get it. I was watching 60 Minutes. To this day, 60 Minutes is one of the biggest and most watched news programs. And they did a profile of professional baseball in Italy. And I was in college at the time. I was like a sophomore, I think. And I was like, what? There's baseball in Italy? And of course, both my parents are Italian descent. My grandfather came over, never learned to speak English very well. My grandfather, Aquaviva. And I thought, boy, this is an opportunity. And I had literally prayed to our Lord to have the opportunity to play professional baseball. But Bruce, little did I know that God brought in professional baseball. Of course, I meant MLB, right? And I wrote a letter to the Italian Baseball Federation, I think three or four times over a year, and they finally responded. And a team in Caserta, Italy, which is not too far, just northeast of Naples. And they had a new stadium going up. They were looking to improve. And one of the ways you improve your team is you use that trump card of one international player. So you have to have all your players have to be of Italian descent living in Italy, but you have one player that you can get from any country. And of course, almost every player was from America for obvious reason, right? You know, we develop great athletes. There's so many athletes. And that's how I got the opportunity. And so God plays little tricks on you. So this is a little cue to our listeners, Bruce. That's why the scripture says, don't just pray, but pray specifically on what you want. I said, I want to play professional baseball. And God goes, I'll send you to Italy where there's the best pizza and pasta in the world. And I played 1 year, and this is truly one of the big regrets of my life. I was called the next year to play again. And because I had such a good year my first year, Bruce, I tried to negotiate for a larger contract, and both teams rejected it. And so I rejected them and I never played again. And to this day, I have a good deal of regret because it's the experience. You don't get rich playing professional baseball unless you play for numerous years, like, you know, Brad Wilkins, you know what I mean? He's a guy who made millions of dollars, but this was just an opportunity. And I just was, my ego got the best of me. And I was like, well, this is what professionals do. They negotiate a better contract. Right?
Interesting lesson.
A very interesting lesson, and it's one of my true non-personal regrets of my life.
Some people, like Brad Wilkerson last week, who just a year ago was the New York Yankees assistant hitting coach, make a career out of baseball. Some people devote their life to Christ by serving as a priest. And John, as I mentioned in the intro, you went into the seminary to study for the priesthood. Walk us through feeling called to that, as well as the decision to step away at some point.
Yeah. So I earned my PhD at 33, which ironically, I read that very year was the average age of a PhD recipient in the United States. So I was that exact age. I was 33. I got a job at Roanoke College in Salem, Virginia, in Roanoke County in Virginia. And I taught there for 8 years, and I'd been thinking about the priesthood, and I started talking to a good priest friend of mine, Father Gregory, about it. And he said, I think this is a genuine call that you have, so I could set you up with the vocations director at any moment. And Bruce, the day I decided to call the diocese and talk to the vocations director was the day I got tenure. And that's a big deal.
Wow.
At a place like Roanoke College.
Wow.
Because if you don't get tenure at a place like that, then you have to leave. So it's sink or swim. There's no, well, you don't get tenure, but you can stay and keep trying. There it was, if you don't get it, then you have to leave the following year. Mm. And it was at that very moment that I got it. I remember my department chair came to me, and a non-Catholic, but a faithful guy, goes, what are you going to do? And he knew I was thinking elsewhere. And I said, I think I'm going to apply to the priesthood. And the biggest reason was I not only felt it in my heart and in my head, but when I was at church, I would often listen to the readings, and then I would start developing what I would say for the homily.
Mm.
And I remember I told my friend Father Gregory, and he goes, John, that's something, because I never did that. And I'm a priest,
wow.
right? And he's still a priest to this day at
wow.
30 years. And that's the way I started to think. And he goes, there's something there. It's like, I'll call him. And of course, I knew. I wasn't young. I wasn't, I was 40 years old at the time. And I knew that I had options, and I knew that this was just a conversation, and there was no pressure. And he was a great guy. To this day, I consider him a friend, the vocations director. And I went for 2 years, and then I started having massive headaches.
Hmm.
And I had all kinds of tests, including MRIs and specialized medicine. And I couldn't make the headaches go away. And so I had to step back.
Mm.
I could function in a job, but I could not function with the daily discipline of a seminarian.
Wow.
Yeah, I remember my rector said, time to leave. You have to take care of this. And Bruce, long story short, I had those headaches for 5 years after I left the seminary.
Boy.
Yeah, and thankfully, they come and go every once in a while, but thankfully they started to get, they were lessened, and then eventually they went away completely. And just periodically, I'll get a bad headache. And to this day, I have no idea what caused them. Some people had their theories, but the year after I left, I was on leave. I was introduced to Alicia, and she was quite compelling to me, and she was a convert to the faith. And combined with her beauty and her intelligence, for the first time in my life, I said, I think I want to marry this person.
Mm.
And I had never had that thought before. Yeah. And
wow.
Yeah, we're married now. We just celebrated our 15th anniversary, and we have 5 children.
Folks, I guess it's kind of backwards, right? My having asked about a cool sports story and then the witness that John just shared. I want to challenge myself to keep things fresh, to change things up a little bit now and then where I can. It's all part of the planning that I do, not only on a per episode basis, meaning preparing for each interview each week, but just overall planning of the show, period. It's all part of my ongoing efforts with the Catholic Sports Radio ministry, working to have an impact, no matter how big or small, in your faith life. It's work that I do to serve the Catholic community through a sports lens. Hopefully you are familiar with my story of having felt called to do this. All that being said, though, it is just me, and this is not my full or my part-time job, and I actually don't even get any income from doing this show, from operating this ministry. And that means that as a result, I have to try to find some way out of my own pocket to cover the many costs that come with running Catholic Sports Radio, both on and off the air. I try to give you specific examples as often as I can, both what it's for and what the amount is, on numerous episodes of this show. I ask you as a result to prayerfully consider this ministry as part of your tithing. If this show is helping you in your faith life, if you believe in the mix of faith and sports, if you like what I'm doing with the Catholic Sports Radio ministry, and you see value in all that I put into this and would like to support these ongoing efforts, I would be most grateful for your making a financial gift. There is a blue Donate to CSR button on the homepage of CatholicSportsRadio.net or .com. They'll both get you to the same place. As some listeners and guests who have done it would attest, that is fast, easy, and secure. There's no list of amounts to have to choose from. You simply type in whatever amount you're comfortable giving. And by the way, this will allow you to use a credit card, debit card, or even PayPal. Alternatively, as some folks have opted to do, you can get in touch with me about sending a check through the mail. Contact me through the website or through social media, or just email me via bruce@catholicsportsradio.net, and I will email you back with the details on sending something that way. Regardless of which method you use, the blue Donate to CSR button on the website or sending me a check, with your permission, I will happily say your name on the air as a public thanks, or as some people have instructed me to do, you can ask to remain anonymous. I'm grateful for your considering Catholic Sports Radio as part of your tithing as I continue working to move more people closer to Christ through the mix of faith and sports. John, before all that, you were telling us about having gone to the seminary. So instead, when did you really start to see the mix of faith and sports and make a conscious decision to pursue that as a vocation, as a specialty area?
It was a gradual thing, Bruce. I think you are like me and like so many other Catholics and so many other Christians, is that, you know, once you commit to this life, there's a certain level of like responsibility that you have. And what I mean is, you're not asked to just, you know, sit back on what you were raised on and, you know, like go to Mass one time a week and then that's what the faith is. I started to delve further and further into it. And then I started in my head to think about how the faith relates to virtually everything in life.
Mm.
Like, we used to have this pastor at our church from the previous parish who used to say, at the very beginning of Mass, let's start as we should start all things, in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. And I thought that was so neat, because if everybody thought along those lines, there would be probably more virtue in the world, right? Like, if everything we do, we should start with the sign of the cross. And that would really keep us on the right path and so forth. And it was sayings like that that started to get me to think about how really there's no aspect of life where the faith doesn't apply. Like, whatever we're doing as a parent, as a coach, as a teacher, whatever we're doing, whatever,
The
moment, in a public life, that the faith doesn't apply to it somehow. And all we have to do is read the catechism and we can see how applicable our faith is to our daily life. And then one day I had this idea for a show, and a friend of mine said, I can get you on ESPN radio. And it was all about fitness, but it really was kind of dry, actually. And not that, you know, fitness isn't a noble topic, because God calls us each to be healthy and so forth, I believe. But eventually I said, this is too dry of a subject.
Mm.
And I said to a friend of mine, I feel it'd be better if we talked about sports, but put like a, you know, an ethical and a moral bend behind it.
Mm-hmm.
And one thing led to another. And I met this gal that was had a radio show at Radio Maria. And she said, John, you should bring this idea to faith and fitness and faith and sport to Radio Maria's general manager. And I said, they would be interested in this. And she goes, they would be really interested in this because they want more everyday topics to be part of their lineup. And I remember within a week, I was talking to the priest who was the program director. And he goes, when do you want to start? He listened to my idea for about 3 minutes. But it was a combination of faith and fitness and faith and sport. And I called the show Faith and Fitness. But eventually I ran out of topics, Bruce. I just do with fitness, because you can only talk about how much good push-ups are to do in a daily life, or how good running or cycling is, right? You can only talk about that so much. But the thing about sport is that it's dynamic, and the story changes daily. And there's all these things that come up that are both immoral or moral, that are ethical and unethical. And
that's
there's all these great, as you know, right? You probably struggle every once in a while for some content, but probably not, right?
Yep.
And our guests bring a great deal to the plate as well. And then I remember I said to the program director, can I change the title of my show from Faith and Fitness to Faith and Sport? I'll never forget. Bruce, they just shrugged their shoulders and went, isn't that just a word change? Because they didn't really understand that they're two completely different things, right? Like, you have to be a certain level of fitness to be a good athlete, but that's where the analogy stops, right? And they were just like, yeah, we'll just change the name. But I changed the content completely. We started talking about ethics, morality, and character as it relates to sport. And ultimately, I brought in Catholic teaching, you know, and it gave me this avenue to call big people. Like, you called in that former major league player, and you probably had numerous guests who have made headlines being a great athlete, but they're now as much known, or they want to be as much known, for their Catholic faith. And I know that we have crossed the streams before. You and I probably have interviewed the same people,
for
or
sure,
at least the same type of
for
person.
Sure.
Somebody that's retired from the sport, was a professional athlete, but now enjoys talking more about their faith than they do about the X's and O's or the statistics that they earned as a player.
Yeah, an audience. In fact, John was kind enough to have me as a guest on his show. I think it was something like 4 years ago. If you go on CatholicSportsRadio.net or .com and you go to the In the Media portion of the About section, that is still listed there. John, just tell the audience how they can listen to your show present day before we move on to your book.
Sure. You can go to radiomaria.us, and then where it says programs, just hit that, and then all their programs, past and present, will come up, and just look for Faith in Sport. And then once you tap on the Faith in Sport button, you'll see numerous week-by-week podcasts that were posted.
Okay. And as I said, let's talk about your newest book, which is called Improving Your Sportsmanship Through Catholic Teaching and Common Sense, A Practical Guide for Athletes, Parents, Fans, and Coaches. It's a very clear title, but in your own words, though, share with the audience about what they can expect throughout this, because to me, it sounds like it would be very actionable content.
It is. And actually, it was easy to write because people have talked about this before. The popes have been talking about sport and virtue for over 100 years now. And that's one of the first things I mentioned in the book, by the way, that this is nothing new. But what was new about it is that everybody has their own experiences, which are only unique to you, right? My experience in sport, my experience playing baseball and rugby, I played for 15 years after college and so forth. But now I have 5 children, 4 of which are highly engaged in sport. So you have regular contact with other parents who organize or help with sport, the coaches, the administrators, the referees or the officials. You have contact with all those people, and you certainly see why they're such a big part of youth sport. And of course, Bruce, all you have to do is watch any youth soccer game, any youth baseball game or football game. And if you are less of a participant as a fan and a parent and just our observer, you could see why the lessons of respect and honesty and so forth come into play in those situations, because it's usually the parents. It's generally not the referees. It's rarely, if ever, the athletes themselves, especially in youth sports. It's the parents, right? Everything is governed from the parents. And that was the big motivator. And so I develop and I dedicate chapters to, and they're simply called Virtue of the Parent, Virtue of the Athlete, Virtue of the Referee, Virtue of the Fan, and Virtue of the Coach. Those are 5 of the 9 chapters that are in this book. And not surprisingly, Bruce, the longest chapter is Virtue for the Parent, right? Mm. Because these are the first teachers of the faith, as our catechism tells us, and it has to extend to sport. And if it doesn't, sport can be an awful place to witness.
And that's exactly the opposite of what one thinks of when they think about sports participation and being a fan and being involved in some way, whatever the role is. And folks, don't forget that I mentioned back in the intro that John also teaches at Wingate University. So if everything that you have heard to this point isn't enough, on top of it all, John, you are active with CatholicSpeakers.com. Folks, back on episode 211 from February of last year, my guest was Joe Condit, the founder of that agency. John, is there a go-to topic that's kind of your sweet spot that you like to go out and speak to audiences about? Give us a flavor for the message you like to deliver when you get booked to speak.
Yeah, I've really been booked to speak several times and equally on 2 topics. The one I've already mentioned, on virtue and sport. And that's one of the things that motivated me to write this book. In other words, what I did is I took my talk, multiplied by 5 or 6, and then made a book out of it. And the other half is something that is seemingly unrelated, and to a degree it is. There's some overlap, and it has to do with my first 2 books. You mentioned I've written 3 on body image, and the first book I wrote was Improving Your Body Image Through Catholic Teaching, and the second one I wrote was for parents, Improving Your Kids' Body Image Through Catholic Teaching. And it's body image like high school students want to know about, college students want to know about, and then the parents love the sportsmanship one. And I'll end this part of your question with the following. I gave this talk out in Ohio a couple years ago to this parish, And after the talk on sport and virtue, there was complete silence. And often there is. They're just kind of grasping, like they've never heard our faith applied to sport before. And I remember this woman in the very back row raised her hand. I said, any questions or comments? And she said, I think every high school in America needs to hear this presentation.
Mm.
I just pointed to her and I go, I agree. And it's true, right? Like even Catholic high schools and Christian high schools could use a lesson in virtue. Some of them are awful, right? Their sportsmanship is awful. There's lack of respect for their teammates, for their opponent, for the referee, for the coach, and all that, right? And we need to apply our faith to sport, and that's how we do it, right? Is through the virtues of respect and loyalty and discipline and so forth.
Beautiful, beautiful. And it's no coincidence, audience, that John's website is catholicbodyimage.com. I'm going to put a link to that on the show page for this episode on catholicsportsradio.net so you can link over to learn more about John, but also to get access to his books. And there is a link on his website for his radio show so that that'll take you over to be able to listen to all of that. So a lot to consume on catholicbodyimage.com. Look for that link on the episode 286, Dr. John Acquaviva page of catholicsportsradio.net. John, you started to talk about your family before. Let's close by having you share about your wife. Remind us how long the two of you have been in the sacrament of holy matrimony, the family that the two of you have made, but also about something that you say that your family has done over the last 2 years, faith-wise.
Sure. Alicia, my wife, and I have been together for 16 years. We celebrated our 15th anniversary. We were going out for about a year, engaged just shortly after that for a year. And then along the way, 5 children, 4 and 5 years, and we waited a couple more years. And so we have a little 3-year-old, Jack. So there's Claire, Luke, Abigail, Grace, and Jack. And something that we've done that is directly related to our faith is we have been strongly encouraged, for lack of a better word, Bruce, by our pastor. If you are going to live out your Christian faith, there's a couple pillars that you should stand on, he always says. And one of them is taking care of the poor. And so what we did was we searched and searched and searched for a family opportunity to serve the poor. And so about once a month, we drive all the kids to a soup kitchen, basically. Mm. And it's really well organized. And we basically, our church has a night. It's one Saturday every month, and they supply lunch and dinner for these folks. Some of them, you know, they're in-house. They have this little housing opportunity for folks for like 30 to 60 days for them to get back on their feet. And then people can just stop by randomly for lunch and dinner. And it's just really strongly organized. We get to do it with other families from our parish, and it just starts great conversation that not everybody is in the same situation that they are, with two parents and a roof over their head and plenty of food in the cupboard. Some people, for whatever reason, and it's a good conversation starter. They're like, then why don't they have a house? Why don't they have food? And those are good conversations that we have to and from, and when we get home, and it especially spurs those questions, like after we get home, you can see they start thinking about it, right? But they serve these individuals, they clean up for these individuals before they get there, they clean up after the kitchen and the eating area.
Yeah.
And so I thought, this is a good practical way to apply our faith. It's not just going to Mass. This is how we apply it.
Wow.
And in fact, it's again this Saturday is when our next commitment. So
wow.
I'm looking forward to that.
Wow.
And the kids actually like it. And I think in part because they get to do it with not just other families, but kids that are friends from other families. So I think it's a friendship building thing as well for them too. And another thing that we have done over the last couple of years is done a consecration to Mary. And this was a great introduction to our kids to demonstrate like the uniqueness of the Catholic faith is the honor that we have for the Mother of God. And one of the things that I encourage the audience, and especially those who really kind of question Mary's role and kind of wonder why she's so elevated in the Catholic Church, the thing that I would ask you to take a look at is, why is it that she has appeared so many times to so many people over the centuries? Why is it? In fact, people have visions of Jesus in their heart and in their dreams and so forth, But the apparitions are of Mary. And why is that? Just try to answer that question. And sometimes the answer is just simply, I don't know, but it's there, right? Like, it's just like the mystery of the Mass, the mystery of the Eucharist. I can't quite explain it, but there's something there. And it's the same thing. Like, we don't quite know. Why doesn't Jesus appear in these apparitions more often? Why is it Mary? And all the, like, think of all the famous apparitions, Bruce, of our faith. They're almost all of Mary,
yeah.
Almost all of them,
yeah.
Right? You're talking about Lourdes, Medjugorje. The list is long. And the stories are phenomenal, in which there are not just dozens, but sometimes thousands of witnesses, right? And I think that's one of the things that we should really take a look at, especially if your faith is waning, and in particular, you're like, what's the deal with Mary?
Mm.
And in fairness, that's a legitimate question, but that's not something that you should just sit back on or dismiss. It's something that you should investigate. Like, why is it that she appears? And it's because everything she does is to bring us closer to our Lord. Mm. And she is so humble, and many people, women especially, find her more, for lack of a better word, Bruce, approachable. And so if we take our prayers to Mary, she will humbly give them to our Lord.
So well said.
And it's quite possible, this is what Catholics believe, and this is written in Scripture, that these folks that are in heaven may have the ear and probably have the ear of God better than anybody. And so if Mary brings our petitions to him, then it's going to be even more well received.
Amen.
That's why we did the Consecration of Mary, and we did it 2 years in a row.
Yeah, those are two great lessons, the serving the food kitchen and doing the consecration.
Yeah.
Those are two great audience. Those are good takeaways. Those are good things to practice if you're looking for something and trying to challenge yourself as a parent of what you can do. There's two great examples right there. John, thank you so much. You shared so many great nuggets with us today. I really appreciate you making time to be on Catholic Sports Radio. God bless you and your family.
God bless you, Bruce. Thanks for having me.
My pleasure. My pleasure. Audience, let's close with our sportsman's prayer and do that together, of course, in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Heavenly Father, you have blessed us with our minds, our spirits, and our bodies. Help us always to be good sports. Help us to understand that when we put on the team uniform, we are first and foremost ambassadors of the Catholic faith. May we always remember that those with whom we play and compete are our brothers and sisters in Christ. May we always treat each other with dignity and respect. May our work and play always give you honor and glory. This we ask through Christ our Lord. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Thanks so much for listening. This is Catholic Sports Radio. Find more at catholicsportsradio.net, as well as on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. It is at Cath Sports Radio on all those, C-A-T-H, at Cath Sports Radio. I'm Bruce Wozniak, and remember, it's not whether you win or lose, it's that it's Jesus that you always choose.